Welcome to the Professional Ag Marketing Podcast. If you want a deep dive into the ag markets and risk management strategies, your search is over. Come here after every Friday to get your weekly commodity recap. Trading commodity futures and options involves substantial risk of loss and is not suitable for all investors. This is your host, Mike Miner. Let's get started. Today is May 3rd. I've got Nick with us here today. How's it going, Nick?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Oh, we're doing really good. It was a very interesting week across the board for the grain markets, cattle markets. Where do you want to start today, Nick?
Well, why don't you start off, Mike, with the grain and these grain markets that we've seen this week?
Definitely. So the July soybeans closed right at about 12.15 today, had a high of 12.16, so that would put us just shy of that 100-day moving average at 12.22. Really a nice recovery, about 50 cents off of that low that we put in on Wednesday there, and then some, so a really nice rally. The November soybean market there, 12.01 closed today. We hit a low this week at about 11.53, so almost 50 cents there, a little more in the July, but a really nice rally out of the soybean market. And really what I want to start with is all of the extra stuff going on with soybeans that kind of led up to this. And right now I'm going to start off with maybe the fund positions. That'd be a nice place to start. You know, up until this point, last Tuesday, the managed money on the soybeans, about 149,000 contracts short. Their record was 171,000. So somewhat close to a record short position that they've been getting rid of here over the last few weeks. And the soybean complex really got some nice legs under it, really got a good run here, along with the wheat as well. But the soybeans got that lift up with meal kind of taking off. We saw Argentina delays. We saw heavy rains and flooding across southern Brazil. That's going to delay their soybean harvest for at least a week, 10 days, something like that. Maybe they'll get started here with some drying out on Sunday, but we'll see what that looks like going forward. And, you know, southern Argentina, they may have damaged some of their later maturing corn and soybean crops here with the freeze that they had. So a little bit of support along those lines. And then if you really dive in deep, next Friday we've got a WASD report, Nick, that we're going to come out with. And CONAB, they came out with a 146 production on the soybean number for Brazil there. USDA is currently about 155, so we are going to probably slide that lower here. We'll see how much we can get. We've been awaiting that move out of them for quite a while, and maybe they'll go to 152, something along those lines, but most of what we're experiencing this week probably won't be taken into account for that report. The Argentina side, too. What do you think?
Yeah, well, do you think that we got these funds getting kind of nervous here with what's going on in South America, and then maybe even, you know, the rain we've been experiencing, that they're actually covering some shorts here, or is it just commercial buying here?
I would put it along this line. I would say that we don't have bullish trade going on. We don't have bulls entering the market. We don't have bulls taking long positions. We have short sellers that have started to cover up some of those positions. They're getting rid of the risk that they've had on ahead of a growing season, as we started to see some problems in South America, really at this point anyway. So I don't think we've talked much or traded much on planting progress in the United States itself yet. I think we're still trading a lot of South America, a lot of Russia wheat story. I think we've traded as wheat just exploded here, as we talked about last week on this show. So I would revolve it more around those topics, I guess. And I think it's very important with the grain markets to realize what stage we're in right now. I mean, it's May 3rd. We just rallied 50 cents in the soybean market. It's common for us to see something like this at this time of the year from weather events in South America. So it's important to realize kind of where we're at and all this. And then you've got the WASD report coming out next Friday, a significant event. I mean, really at this point, I don't expect the grain markets to get quieter. I still think we're going to see a lot of volatility back and forth, giving us a lot of opportunities. However, I think the grain producers in the room, they really need to start paying attention to the markets now. I mean, we've had a nice hiatus for a while through the winter here, but you know, really corn, this is the highest corn price we've had on futures since January, Nick. So
yeah,
that's significant and something to really pay attention to as we got December corn to close around that 480 to 485 type area today. I think that was significant progress, and I think we really need to start looking at if what old crop we got laying around still and moving that. As yeah, I'm not the only one to say that this week with reports of over an hour and a half wait lines at ethanol plants, along with a lot of processors taking some free DP. The trucks have been moving this week with the rain break, but I do think that looking forward, we should really start to take some risk off the table for this next year's crop and maybe even 25. And then, you know, this old crop sitting in the bin, we have a substantial risk on just basis and what futures can do here while that starts to sit and people wrap up planning as they start to move that to town.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's really easy to kind of get lost in some of the in some of this news that's going on that's driving the market higher, and you know, and kind of start to latch onto that and start to gain a bullish sentiment. But the reality is, this is exactly what we needed to start making our new crop sales. And I don't think there's really a whole lot that's changing the balance sheet yet. We certainly were expecting some lower numbers out of South America with what. With what, you know, they got going on there. So I think, you know, stay the course, and like you're saying, Mike, get, you know, get some of these sales and working orders going, and this is exactly what we need to start you know, ensuring some profits for the year.
And I hope this is a start of something rather than the end of or middle of something. I mean, on this rally here that's occurring because a lot of South American problems with, you know, roughly 25% of their crops still waterlogged. I really look at this as hopefully we can slingshot this thing towards those gaps at $5 on December 24 and $12.40 on November 24 futures. I hope we get an opportunity at that, but I think it's important that each week we move forward now the next probably 2 months. I want to be taking a little risk off probably each week, or pick your week and really stick to a program here and plug away at some of these sales and opportunities. But maybe that's a little bit too in-depth, but let's talk about the cattle market, Nick. Wrap up with that. We had a lot of action going on with volatility in that market as well. Can you just give me a breakdown of kind of why we moved the way we did in futures this week?
Well, sure, Mike. There's quite a few things actually that were causing this volatility in the cattle market. Number one, of course, was the USDA testing these ground meat for avian flu, and that kind of spooked the market initially. I think
that's not a common practice by any means.
No, and obviously, you know, the when you start looking for stuff, typically you start finding stuff, right? And so that got the market pretty nervous about all that and what the perception was going to be to the public and beef demand. But actually they came out yesterday and that they did not find it in the samples that they tested from the states that have had cattle with that did test for avian flu. So that, you know,
traders like that, didn't they?
Yeah, after not liking the market for a couple days there, they really liked it yesterday. And then you had some other news going on, certainly on the fundamental side of things, that really was good. We had a really strong export week, 22,500 metric tons, which we shipped. That's a marketing year high for beef exports. And also cash cattle trading $1 to $2 higher in light of what these futures were doing this week, you know, two significantly lower days, and they were not able to buy them cheaper. So I think that was really encouraging to the market. There was
sellers held out pretty good before that, didn't they? When the futures were breaking, it seemed like they were waiting.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Weeks or the weights did finally take a little move a little lower, down 3 pounds week over week. We're still 25 pounds above a year ago and 30 pounds above the 5-year average, but they did work a little lower.
Still some to take off there from the looks of it.
Yep. Seasonally, we should continue lower yet. Not for long, though. Probably June sometime is when you kind of start to pick them weights up, and we're not that far away from that anymore. So we'll see how this all goes. It does look like we're going to have quite a few carryover cattle going into May, even though the placement data suggested we weren't going to have as many cattle for this May as last May. We certainly have a lot more carryover cattle. The industry is not as current as it was last year, and so it'll be really interesting how that plays out. Packer margins are in the red, have been for 3 to 4 weeks here, and it'll be interesting if they're able to gain that back. You know, if we've had a really flat choice beef price over the first 4 months of the year here, and it'll be really interesting if we can get that to work higher and they could actually gain margin that way, or if they're simply going to gain it by lowering this cash market. I think with all that coming our way, we got to be ready for a lower cash market just because of those carryover cattle. But yeah, they're also running short slaughter weeks yet, just 36-hour weeks. So both with a higher seasonal supply coming, but more carryover cattle, you'd think that they start to increase their slaughter weeks too, again, their hours, but we'll see how that all plays out.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Nick. A lot going on in the marketplace this week, so it made a fun podcast. Please give us a holler if you have any questions about the markets. It's a great time of the year to be chatting with your risk manager, and let us know what we can do for you. Thank you. And thank you to all our listeners. Please reach out to us at professionalagmarketing.com. Check out our other podcast as well, Professional Ag Marketing, that's released every Friday. Trading commodity futures and options involves substantial risk of loss and is not suitable for all investors. See you next time.